jump. Women, never meet one like that. Wilkins in the high school, drawing a picture of Venus with all his belongings on show. Call that innocence? Poor idiot. His wife has her work cut out for her. Never see them sit on the benchmark wet paint. Eyes all over them. Look under the bed for what's not there. Longing to get the fright of their lives. Sharp as needles they are. When I said to Molly the man at the corner of Cuff Street was good-looking, thought she might like, twigged it once. He had a false arm. Had too. Where did they get that? Typists going up Roger Green's stairs two at a time to show her understandings. Handed down from father to... mother to daughter, I mean. Bread in the bone. Millie, for example, drying her handkerchief on the mirror to save the ironing. Best place for an ad to catch a woman's eye on a mirror. And when I sent her Molly's paisley shawl to Prescott's, by the way, that ad I must. Carrying home the change in her stocking. Clever little minx. I never told her. Neat way she carries parcels, too. Attract men. Small things like that. Holding up a hand, shaking it to let the blood flow back when it was red. Who did you learn that from? Nobody. Something the nurse taught me. Oh, don't they know? 3 years old she was in front of Molly's dressing table just before we left Lombard Street West. Me have a nice face. Molly Gar, who knows? Ways of the world. Young student. Straight on her pins anyway, not like the other. Still, she was game. Lord, I'm wet. Devil you are. Swell of her calf. Transparent stockings stretched to breaking point. Not like that from today. A.E. Rumpled stockings. Or the one in Grafton Street. White. Wow. Beef to the heel. A monkey puzzle rocket burst, spluttering and darting crackles. Zrads and zrads, zrads, zrads. And Sissy and Tommy run out to sea, and Edie after with the pushcar. And then Gertie beyond the curve of the rocks. Will she? Watch, watch, see? Look round. She smelt an onion. Darling, I saw your... I saw all. Lord. Did me good all the same. Off colour after Kiernan's, Deignan's. For this relief, much thanks. In Hamlet, that is. Lord, it was all things combined. Excitement. When she leaned back, felt an ache at the butt of my tongue. Your head, it simply swirls. He's right. Might have made a worse fool of myself, however. Instead of talking about nothing. Then I will tell you all. Still, it was a kind of language between us. It couldn't be. No. Gertie, they called her. Might be false name, however, like my and the address Dolphin's Barn are blind. Her maiden name was Jemima Brown, and she lived with her mother in Irish Town. Place made me think of that, I suppose, all tarred with the same brush, wiping pens in the stockings, but the ball rolled down to her, as if it understood. Every bullet has its billet. Of course, I never could throw anything straight at school, crooked as a ram's horn. Sad, however, because it lasts only a few years till they settle down to pot-walloping, and Papa's pants will soon fit Willie and full as air for the baby when they hold him out to do uh-uh. No soft job. Saves them. Keeps them out of harm's way. Nature. Washing child, washing corpse. Deignan. Children's hands always round them. Coconut skulls, monkeys, not even closed at first. Sour milk in their swaddles and tainted curds. Oughtn't to have given that child an empty teat to suck. Fill it up with wind. Mrs. Beaufoy, Purefoy, must call to the hospital. Wonder is Nurse Callan there still? She used to look over some nights when Molly was in the coffee palace. That young Dr. O'Hare, I noticed her brushing his coat. And Mrs. Breen, and Mrs. Deignan, once like that too. Marriageable. Worst of all at night, Mrs. Duckham told me, in the City Arms. Husband, rolling in drunk. Stink of pub off him like a polecat. Have that in your nose in the dark, whiff of stale booze, then ask in the morning, was I drunk last night? Bad policy, however, to fault the husband. Chickens come home to roost. They stick by one another like glue. Maybe the woman's fault also. That's where Molly can knock spots off them. It is the blood of the South, Moorish. Also the form, the figure, hands felt for the opulent. Just compare, for instance, those others. Wife locked up at home, skeleton in the cupboard. Allow me to introduce my... Then they trot you out some kind of a nondescript. Wouldn't know what to call her. Always see a fella's weak point in his wife. Still, there's destiny in it. Falling in love. Had their own secrets between them. Chaps that would go to the dogs if some woman didn't take them in hand. Then little chits of girls, height of a shilling and coppers, with little hubbies. As God made them, he matched them. Sometimes children turn out well enough. twice naught makes one. Or old rich chap of 70 and blushing bride marry in May and repent in December. Oh, this wet. It's very unpleasant.
Stuck.
Well, the foreskin is not back. Better detach.
Ow!
Other hand, a six-footer with a wifey up to his watch pocket, long the short of it. Big he and little she. Very strange about my watch. Wristwatches are always going wrong. Wonder is there any magnetic influence between the person, because that was about the time he... Yes, I suppose at once. Cats away, mice will play. I remember looking in Pill Lane. Also, that now is magnetism. Back of everything, magnetism. Earth, for instance, pulling this and being pulled, that causes movement. And time, well, that's the time the movement takes. Then if one thing stopped, the whole gazebo would stop, bit by bit, because it's arranged. Magnetic needle tells you what's going on in the sun, the stars. Little piece of steel iron. When you hold out the fork, come, come, tip. Woman and man, that is. Fork and steel. Molly, he. Dress up and look and suggest and let you see and see more and defy you if you're a man to see that and, like a sneeze coming, legs, look, look, and if you have any goods in your tip, have to let fly. Wonder how she's feeling in that region. Shame all put on before third person. More put out about a hole in her stocking. Molly, her underjaw stuck out, head back about the farmer in the riding boots and spurs at the horse show. And then the painters were in Lombard Street West. Fine voice that fella had. How Giulini began. Smell that I did, like flowers. It was, too. Violets came from the turpentine, probably, in the paint. Make their own use of everything. Same time doing it, scraped her slipper on the floor so they wouldn't hear. But lots of them can't kick the beam, I think. Keep that thing up for hours. Kind of a general all-round over me and half down my back. Wait, Yes. That's her perfume. Why, she waved her hand. I'll leave you this to think of me when I'm far away on the pillow. What is this, heliotrope? No, hyacinth. Roses, I think. She likes scent of that kind, sweet and cheap, soon sour. Why Molly likes a Popanax. Suits her with a little jessamine mixed. Her high notes and her low notes. At the dance night she met him, dance of the hours. Heat brought it out. She was wearing her black, and it had the perfume of the time before. Good conductor, is it? Or bad? Light, too. Suppose there's some connection. For instance, if you go into a cellar where it's dark. Mysterious thing, too. Why did I smell it only now? Took its time in coming, like herself. Slow, but sure. Suppose it's ever so many millions of tiny grains blown across. Yes, it is, because those spice islands, Singhalese, this morning... Smell them leagues off. Tell you what it is, it's like a fine veil or web they have all over the skin. Fine like, what do you call it, gossamer. And they're always spinning it out of them. Fine as anything, rainbow colours without knowing it. Clings to everything she takes off. Vamper for stockings, warm shoe, stays, drawers. Little kick taking them off. Bye-bye till next time. Also, the cat likes to sniff in her shift on the bed. Know her smell in a thousand. Bathwater, too. Reminds me of strawberries and cream. Wonder where it is, really. There, or the armpits, or under the neck. Because you get it out of all holes and corners. Hyacinth perfume, made of oil or ether or something. Muskrat. Bag under their tails, one grain pour off odour for years. Dogs, at each other behind. Good evening, evening, how do you sniff? Very well, thank you. Animals go by that. Yes, now, look at it that way. We're the same. Some women, for instance, warn you off when they have their period. Come near, then get a hog where you can hang your hat on. Like what? Potted herrings gone stale or poof. Please keep off the grass. Perhaps they get a man smell off us. What though? Cigarry gloves, Long John had on his desk the other. Breath? What you eat and drink gives that. No, man smell, I mean. Must be connected with that because priests that are supposed to be are different. Women buzz round it like flies round treacle, railed off the altar, get onto it at any cost. The tree of forbidden priest, oh, Father, will you let me be the first to... That diffuses itself all through the body, permeates. Source of life, and it's extremely curious, the smell. Celery sauce. Let me. Mr. Bloom inserted his nose. Into the... opening up his waistcoat. Almonds, or no, lemons it is. Ah, no, that's the soap. Oh, by the by, that lotion. I knew there was something on my mind. Never went back, and the soap not paid. Dislike carrying bottles like that hag this morning. Hines might have paid me that 3 shillings. I could mention Mars just to remind him. Still, if he works that paragraph, 2 and 9, bad opinion of me he'll have. Call tomorrow. How much do I owe you? 3 and 9? 2 and 9, sir? Ah, I might stop and give him credit another time. Lose your customers that way. Pubs do. Fellow run up a bill on the slate and then slinking round the back streets into somewhere else. Here's this nobleman passed before, blown in from the bay. Just went as far as turned back. Always at home at dinner time. Looks mangled out. Had a good tuck in. Enjoying nature now. Grace after meals. After supper, walk a mile. Sure he has a small bank balance somewhere. Government sit. Walk after him now. Make him awkward, like those newsboys me today. Still, you learn something. See ourselves as others see us. So long as women don't mock what matter. That's the way to find out. Ask yourself, who is he now? The Mystery Man on the Beach. Prize titbit story by Mr. Leopold Bloom. Payment at the rate of 1 guinea per column. And that fellow today at the graveside in the brown mackintosh. Corns on his kismet, however. Healthy, perhaps. Absorb all the... Whistle brings rain, they say. Must be some somewhere. Salt in the almond damp. The body feels the atmosphere. Old Betty's joints are on the rack. Mother Shipton's prophecy, that is, about ships. Around they fly in the twinkling. No. Signs of rain it is. The Royal Reader. And distant hills seem coming nigh. Hoth. Bailey Light. 24689. See. Has to change, or they might think it's a house. Wreckers. Grace Darling. People afraid of the dark. Also glowworms. Cyclists. Lighting up time. Jewels, diamonds flash better. Light is a kind of reassuring. Not going to hurt you. Better now, of course, than long ago. Country roads. Run you through the small guts for nothing. Still, two types there are you bob against. Scowl or smile. Pardon? Not at all. Best time to spray plants to in the shade after the sun. Some light, still. Red rays are longest. Roigabiv, Vance taught us. Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet. A star, I see. Venus? Can't tell yet. 2. When 3, it's night. Were those night clouds there all the time? Looks like a phantom ship. No, wait. Trees, are they? An optical illusion. Mirage. Land of the setting sun, this. Home rule sun setting in the southeast. My native land. Good night. Dew falling. Bad for you, dear. To sit on that stone, brings on white fluxions. Never have little baby, then less he was big, strong fighters way up through. Micah pards myself. Sticks too, like a summer cold, sore in the mouth. Cut with grass or paper, worst. Friction of the position. Like to be that rock she sat on. Oh, sweet little, you don't know how nice you looked. I begin to like them at that age. Green apples. Grab at all that offer. Suppose it's the only time you cross legs. Seated. Also the library today. Those girl graduates. Happy chairs under them. But it's the evening influence. They feel all that. Open like flowers. Know their hours. Sunflowers. Jerusalem artichokes. In ballrooms. Chandeliers. Avenues under the lamps. Nightstock in Matt Dillon's garden where I kissed her shoulder. Wish I had a full-length oil painting of her then. June that was too, I wooed. The year returns. History repeats itself. Ye crags and peaks, I'm with you once again. Life, love, voyage, round your own little world. And now? Sad about her lame, of course, but must be on your guard not to feel too much pity. They take advantage. All quiet on Hoth now. The distant hills seem where we, the rhododendrons. I'm a fool, perhaps. He gets the plums and I the plum stones. Where I come in, all that old hill is seen. Names change, that's all. Lovers, yum yum. Tired, I feel now. Will I get up? Oh, wait. Drained all the manhood out of me, little wretch. She kissed me, my youth. Never again. Only once it comes. Or hers. Take the train there tomorrow. No, returning not the same. Like kids, your second visit to a house. The new I want. Nothing new under the sun. Care of P.O. Dolphin's Barn. Are you not happy in your naughty darling? At Dolphin's Barn, charades in Luke Doyle's house. Matt Dillon and his bevy of daughters. Tiny, Atty, Flowey, Mamie, Louie, Hetty, Molly, too. 87, that was, year before we... And the old major, partial to his drop of spirits. Curious, she an only child, I an only child. So is returns. Think you're escaping and run into yourself. Longest way round is the shortest way home. And just when he and she... Circus horse walking in a ring. Rip Van Winkle we played. Rip, tear in Henry Dawes overcoat. Van, bread van delivering. Winkle, cockles and periwinkles. Then I did Rip Van Winkle coming back. She leaned on the sideboard, watching, Moorish eyes. 20 years asleep in Sleepy Hollow, all changed, forgotten. The young are old. His gun rusty from the dew. Bah. What is that flying about, swallow? Bat, probably. Thinks I'm a tree, so blind. Have birds no smell? Metempsychosis. They believe you could be changed into a tree from grief. Weeping willow. But there he goes. Funny little beggar. Wonder where he lives. Belfry up there, very likely, hanging by his heels in the odour of sanctity. Bell scared him out, I suppose. Mass seems to be over. Could hear them all at it. Pray for us and pray for us and pray for us. Good idea, the repetition. Same thing with ads. Buy from us and buy from us. Yes. There's the light in the priest's house. Their frugal meal. Remember about the mistake in the valuation when I was in Tom's. 28 it is. 2 houses they have. Gabriel Conroy's brother is curate. But, again, wonder why they come out at night like mice. They're a mixed breed. Birds are like hopping mice. What frightens them, light or noise? Better sit still. All instinct, like the bird in Trout got water out at the end of a jar by throwing in pebbles. Like a little man in a cloak he is. With tiny hands, weeny bones, almost see them shimmering, kind of a bluey white. Colours depend on the light, you see. Stare at the sun, for example, like the eagle, then look at his shoe, see a blotch, blob, yellowish. Wants to stamp his trademark on everything. Instance, that cat this morning, on the staircase, colour of brown turf. Say you never see them with 3 colours. Not true. That half-tabby white tortoiseshell in the City Arms, with the letter M on her forehead. Body, 50 different colours. Hoth, a while ago. Amethyst. Glass flashing. That's how that wise man, what's his name, with the burning glass. Then the heather goes on fire. Can't be tourist matches, what? Perhaps the sticks dry, rubbed together in the wind and light, or broken bottles in the furs, act as a burning glass in the sun. Archimedes, I have it. My memory's not so bad. But who knows what they're always flying for? Insects? That bee last week got into the room, playing with the shadow on the ceiling. Might be the one bit me. Come back to see. Birds, too, never find out what they say. Like our small talk. Answer she, answer he. Nerve. They have to fly over the ocean and back. Lot must be killed in storms, telegraph wires. Dreadful life sailors have, too. Big brutes of ocean-going steamers. Floundering along in the dark, lowing out like sea cows. Fall, Bala! Out of that bloody cursed here. Others in vessels, bit of a handkerchief sail, pitched about like snuff at a wake when the stormy winds do blow. Married to. Sometimes away for years at the ends of the earth somewhere. No ends, really, because it's round. Wife in every port, they say. She has a good job if she minds it till Johnny comes marching home again, if ever he does, smelling the tail end of ports. How can they like the sea? Yet they do. The anchor's weighed. Off he sails with a scapular or a medal on him for luck. Well, and the tephilim. No, what's this they call it? Poor Papa's father had on his door to touch. That brought us out of the land of Egypt and into the house of bondage. Something in all those superstitions. Because when you go out, never know what dangers. Hanging onto a plank or astride of a beam for grim life, life belt round him, gulping salt water, and that's the last of his nibs till the sharks catch hold of him. Do fish ever get seasick? Then you have a beautiful calm, without a cloud, smooth sea, placid crew, and cargo in smithereens, Davy Jones locker, moon looking down, Not my fault, old Cockalorum. A lost long candle wandered up the sky from Myra's Bazaar in search of funds for Mercer's hospital, and broke, drooping, and shed a cluster of violet but one white stars. They floated, fell, then faded. The shepherd's hour, the hour of holding, hour of tryst. From house to house, giving his ever-welcome double knock, went the 9 o'clock postman, the glow worm's lamp at his belt, gleaming here and there through the laurel hedges. And among the 5 young trees, a hoisted linstock lit the lamp at Leahy's Terrace. By screens of lighted windows, by equal gardens, a shrill voice went crying, wailing, "Evening Telegraph, stop press edition! Result of the Gold Cup race!" And from the door of Dignam's house, a boy ran out and called. Twittering, the bat flew here, flew there. Far out over the sands, the coming surf crept grey. Hoth, settled for slumber, tired of long days, of yum-yum rhododendrons, he was old, and felt gladly the night breeze lift, ruffle his fell of ferns. He lay, but opened a red eye, unsleeping, deep and slowly breathing, slumberous but awake. And far on Kish Bank, the anchored lightship twinkled, winked, at Mr. Bloom. Life those chaps out there must have, stuck in the same spot. Irish lights board, penance for their sins. Coast Guards, too. Rocketed breeches boy and lifeboat. Davy went out for the pleasure cruise and the Aaron's King, throwing them the sack of old papers. Bears in the zoo. Filthy trip. Drunkards out to shake up their livers, puking overboard to feed the herrings. Nausea. And the women, fear of God in their faces. Millie, no sign of funk. Her blue scarf loose, laughing. Don't know what death is at that age. And then their stomachs clean. But being lost, they fear. When we hid behind the tree at Crumlin, I didn't want to. Mama! Mama! Babes in the wood. Frightening them with masks, too. Throwing them up in the air to catch them. I'll murder you! Is it only half fun? Or children playing battle, whole earnest? How can people aim guns at each other? Sometimes they go off. Poor kids. Only troubles, wildfire and nettle rash. Calomel perch, I got her for that. After getting better, asleep with Molly. Very same teeth she has. What do they love? Another themselves? But the morning she chased her with the umbrella, perhaps so as not to hurt. I felt her pulse, ticking. Little hand it was, now big. Dearest Papley, all that the hand says when you touch. Loved to count my waistcoat buttons. Her first days, I remember, made me laugh to see. Little paps to begin with. Left one is more sensitive, I think. Mine, too. Nearer the heart. Patting themselves out if fat is in fashion. Her growing pains at night, calling, wakening me. Frightened she was when our nature came on her first, poor child. Strange moment for the mother, too. Brings back her girlhood. Gibraltar. Looking from Buena Vista, O'Hara's Tower, the seabird screaming. Old Barbary ape that gobbled all his family. Sundown, gunfire for the men to cross the lines. Looking out over the sea, she told me. Evening like this, but clear, no clouds. I always thought I'd marry a lord or a gentleman with a private yacht. Buenas noches, señorita. El hombre ama la muchacha hermosa. Why me? Because you were so foreign from the others. Better not stick here all night like a limpet. The weather makes it dull. Must be getting on for 9 by the light. Go home. Too late for Leah, Lily of Galani. No, might be still up. Call to the hospital to see. Hope she's over. Long day I've had. Martha, the bath, funeral, house of keys, museum of those goddesses, Daedalus' song. Then that bawler in Barney Kiernan's. Got my own back there. Drunken ranters. What I said about his god made him wince. Mistake to hit back, or no. Ought to go home and laugh at themselves. Always want to be swilling in company. Afraid to be alone like a child or two. Suppose he hit me. Look at it other way round. Not so bad then. Perhaps not to hurt, he meant. 3 cheers for Israel. 3 cheers for the sister-in-law he hawked about 3 fangs in her mouth. Same style of beauty. Particularly nice old party for a cup of tea. The sister of the wife of the wild man of Borneo had just come to town. Imagine that in the early morning at close range. Everyone to his taste, as Morris said when he kissed the cow. But Dignam's put the boots on it. Houses of mourning are so depressing because you never know. Anyhow, she wants the money. Must call to those Scottish widows, as I promised. Strange name. Takes it for granted we're going to pop off first. That widow on Monday, was it, outside Kramer's, that looked at me. Bury the poor husband, but progressing favourably on the premium. Her widow's might. Well, what do you expect her to do? Must wheedle her way along. Widower, I hate to say. Look so forlorn. Poor man O'Connor, wife and five children, poisoned by mussels here. The sewage. Hopeless. Some good matronly woman in a pork pie hat to mother him. Take him in tow, platter face and a large apron. Ladies' grey flannelette bloomers, 3 shillings a pair. Astonishing bargain. Plain and loved, love forever, they say. Ugly, no woman thinks she is. Love, lie and be handsome, for tomorrow we die. See him sometimes walking about trying to find out who played the trick. U.P. Up. Fate, that is. He, not me. Also a shop often noticed. Curse seems to dog it. Dreamt last night. Wait. Something confused. She had red slippers on, Turkish. Wore the breeches. Suppose she does. Would I like her in pyjamas? Damned hard to answer. Nanetti's gone. Mail boat. Near Holyhead by now. Must nail that ad of Keys. Work Hines and Crawford. Petticoats for Molly. She has something to put in them. What's that? Might be money. Mr. Bloom stooped and turned over a piece of paper on the strand. He brought it near his eyes and peered. Letter? No, can't read. Better go. Better. I'm tired to move. Page of an old copybook. All those holes and pebbles. Who could count them? Never know what you find. Bottle with story of a treasure in it, thrown from a wreck. Parcels post. Children always want to throw things in the sea. Trust. Bread cast on the waters. What's this? Bit of stick. Oh, exhausted that female has me. Not so young now. Will she come here tomorrow? Wait for her somewhere forever. Must come back. Murderers do. Will I? Mr. Bloom, with his stick, gently vexed the thick sand at his foot. Write a message for her. Might remain, what? I... Some flatfoot tramp on it in the morning. Useless. Washed away. Tide comes here. A pool near her foot. Bend. See my face there. Dark mirror. Breathe on it. Stirs. All these rocks with lines and scars and letters. Oh, those transparent. Besides, they don't know. What is the meaning of that other world? I called you naughty boy because I do not like... A-M-A... No room. Let it go. Mr. Bloom effaced the letters with his slow boot. Hopeless thing, sand. Nothing grows in it. All fades. No fear of big vessels coming up here. Except Guinness's barges. Round the kitchen 80 days. Done half by design. He flung his wooden pen away. The stick fell in silted sand. Stuck. Now, if you were trying to do that for a week on end, you couldn't. Chance. We'll never meet again. But it was lovely. Goodbye, dear. Thanks. Made me feel so young. Short snooze now if I had... Oh, must be near 9. Liverpool boat long gone. Not even the smoke. And she can do the other, dear, too. And Belfast. I won't go. Race there, race back to Ennis. Let him... Just close my eyes a moment. Won't sleep, though. Half dream. It never comes the same. Bat again. No harm in him, just a few. Oh, sweetie, all your little girl white up, I saw. Dirty brace girdle made me do love sticky. We too naughty, Grace darling. She, him, half past... The bed met in picosis, frillies for old, to perfume your wife, black hair, heave under embon, señorita, young eyes, Malvi, plump, years, dreams, return tail end, agendath, swoony, lovey, showed me her, next year in drawers, return next, in her next, her next. A bat flew. Here. There. Far in the grey, a bell chimed. Mr. Bloom, with open mouth, his left boot sanded sideways, leaned, breathed.
Just for a few. Cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
The clock on the mantelpiece in the priest's house cooed, where Canon O'Hanlon and Father Conroy and the Reverend John Hughes, S.J., were taking tea and soda bread and butter and fried mutton chops with catsup and talking about
cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Because it was a little canary bird that came out of his little house to tell the time, that Gertie MacDowell noticed the time she was there, because she was as quick as anything about a thing like that was Gertie MacDowell, and she noticed at once that the foreign gentleman that was sitting on the rocks looking was
cuckoo, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Just a song at twilight, when the lights are low, and the flickering shadows softly come and go. Though the heart be weary, sad the day and long, still to us at twilight comes love's old song.
Dashel Halles Ayamus, Dashel Halles Ayamus, send us bright one, light one, horhorn quickening and womb fruit. Send us bright one, light one, horhorn quickening and womb fruit. Send us bright one, light one, horhorn quickening and womb fruit. Hoopsa boy a boy, hoopsa. Hoopsa boy a boy, hoopsa. Hoopsa boy a boy, hoopsa.
Universally, that person's acumen is esteemed very little perceptive concerning whatsoever matters are being held, as most profitably, by mortals with sapience endowed, to be studied who is ignorant of that which the most in doctrine erudite, and certainly by reason of that in them high minds ornament, deserving of veneration, constantly maintain, when by general consent they affirm that, other circumstances being equal, by no exterior splendour is the prosperity of a nation more efficaciously asserted than by the measure of how far forward may have progressed the tribute of its solicitude for that proliferant continuance which of evils, the original, if it be absent, when fortunately present, constitutes the certain sign of omnipotent nature's incorrupted benefaction. For who is there who anything of some significance has apprehended, but is conscious that that exterior splendour may be the surface of a downward-tending lutulent reality? Or, on the contrary, anyone so is there inilluminated as not to perceive that, as no nature's boon can contend against the bounty of increase, so it behoves every most just citizen to become the exhortator and admonisher of assemblables, and to tremble lest what had in the past been by the nation excellently commenced might be in the future not with similar excellence accomplished, if an inveracund habit shall have gradually traduced the honourable by ancestors transmitted customs to that thither of profundity, that one was audacious excessively, who would have the hardihood to rise affirming that no more odious offence can for any one be, than to oblivious neglect to consign that evangel simultaneously command and promise, which on all mortals with prophecy of abundance, or with diminution's menace, that exalted of reiteratedly procreating function, ever irrevocably enjoined. It is not why, therefore, we shall wonder if, as the best historians relate, among the Celts, who nothing that was not in its nature admirable admired, the art of medicine shall have been highly honoured. Not to speak of hostels, leper yards, sweating chambers, plague graves, their greatest doctors, the O'Shields, the O'Hickeys, the O'Lees, have sedulously set down the divers methods by which the sick and the relapsed found again health, whether the malady had been the trembling withering or loose boyconal flux. Certainly, in every public work, which in it anything of gravity contains, preparation should be with importance commensurate, and therefore a plan was by them adopted, whether by having preconsidered, or as the maturation of experience, it is difficult in being said, which the discrepant opinions of subsequent inquirers are not, up to the present, congrued to render manifest, whereby maternity was so far from all accident possibility removed, that whatever care the patient, in that all-hardest of woman hour chiefly required, and not solely for the copiously opulent, but also for her who, not being sufficiently moneyed, scarcely, and often not even scarcely, could subsist valiantly, and for an inconsiderable emolument was provided. To her nothing already, then and thenceforward, was anywhere able to be molestful, for this chiefly felt all citizens, except with proliferant mothers prosperity at all, not to can be, and as they had received eternity, God's mortal's generation to befit them, her beholding, when the case was so having itself parturient in vehicle thereward carrying desire immense among all one another, was impelling on of her to be received into that domicile. O thing of prudent nation, not merely in being seen, but also even in being related worthy of being, praised that they her by anticipation went seeing mother, that she by them, suddenly to be about to be cherished, had been begun, she felt. Before born, babe bliss had, within womb won he worship. Whatever in that one case done, commodiously done was. A couch by midwives attended, with wholesome food, reposeful. Cleanness waddles, as though forthbringing were now done, and by wise foresight set. But to this no less of what drugs there is need, and surgical implements which are pertaining to her case, not omitting aspect of all very distracting spectacles in various latitudes by our terrestrial orb offered, together with images divine and human, the cogitation of which by sejunct females is to tumescence conducive, or eases issue in the high, sun-bright, well-built fair home of mothers, when, ostensibly far gone and reproductive, it is come by her thereto to lie in, her term up. Some man, that wayfaring, was stood by house door at night's oncoming. Of Israel's folk was that man, that on earth wandering far had fared. Stark wrath of man, his errand that him lone led till that house. Of that house a horn is lord. 70 beds keeps he. Their teeming mothers are wont that they lie for to thole and bring forth bairns hail. So God's angel to Mary quoth. Watchers tway their walk, white sisters in ward sleepless. Smarts they still, sickness soothing. In 12 moons, thrice 100. Truest bedthanes they twain are, for horn holding wariest ward. In ward wary, the watcher, hearing come that man, mild-hearted, eft rising with swy wimple to him, her gait wide undid. Lo, leven leaping lightens in Iblink Island's westward welkin. Full she dread that God the wreaker all mankind would foredo with water for his evil sins. Christ's rood made she on breastbone, and him drew that he would wrath infer under her thatch. That man, her will wotting, worthful, went in Horn's house. Loath to irk in Horn's hall, hat-holding, the seeker stood. On her stow he e'er was living with dear wife and lovesome daughter, that then over land and sea-floor 9 years had long outwandered. Once her in town-hithe meeting, he to her bow had not doffed. Her to forgive now he craved, with good ground of her allowed, that of him swift-seen face, hers, so young then had looked. Light swift her eyes kindled, bloom of blushes, his word winning. As her eyes then on got his weed swart, therefore sorrow she feared, glad after she was, that eerie dread was. Her he asked, if O'Hare, doctor, tidings sent from far coast, and she, with grameful sigh, him answered, that O'Hare doctor in heaven was. Sad was the man that word to hear, that him so heavied in bowels wrathful. All she there told him, ruing death for friend, so young, Oldgate sore unwilling God's right wiseness to withsay. She said that he had a fair sweet death, through God his goodness, with mass priest to be shriven, holy housel and sick men's oil to his limbs. The man then right earnest asked the nun of which death the dead man was died, and the nun answered him and said that he was died in Mona Island through belly crab 3 year agone, come Childermas, and she prayed to God the old ruthful to have his dear soul in his undeathliness. He heard her sad words in held hat, sad staring. So stood they both there a while in one hope, sorrowing one with other.
Therefore every man, look to that last end, that is thy death, and the dust that grippeth on every man that is born of woman. For as he came naked forth from his mother's womb, so naked shall he wend him at the last, for to go as he came. The man that was come into the house then spoke to the nursing woman, and he asked her how it fared with the woman that lay there in childbed. The nursing woman answered him and said that that woman was in throes now full 3 days, and that it would be a hard birth on earth to bear, but that now in a little it would be. She said thereto that she had seen many births of women, but never was none so hard as was that woman's birth. Then she set it forth all to him that time was had lived nigh that house. The man hearkened to her words, for he felt with wonder women's woe in the travail that they have of motherhood. And he wondered to look on her face, that was a young face for any man to see, but yet was she left after long years a handmaid. 9-12 blood flows, chiding her childless. And whilst they spake, the door of the castle was opened, and there nighed them a mickle noise, as of many that sat there at meat. And there came against the place, as they stood, a young learning knight, yclept Dixon, and the traveller Leopold was couth to him. Sithen it had happed that they had had ado each with other in the house of Misericord, where this learning knight lay, by cause the traveller Leopold came there to be healed, for he was sore wounded in his breast by a spear, wherewith a horrible and dreadful dragon was smitten him, for which he did do make a salve of volatile salt and chrism, as much as he might suffice. And he said now that he should go into the castle, for to make merry with them that were there. And the traveller Leopold said that he should go other whither, for he was a man of courtles and a subtle. Also the lady was of his avis, and reproved the learning knight, though she trowed well that the traveller had said thing that was false for his subtlety. But the learning knight would not hear say nay, nor do her mandament, nay have him in aught contrarious to his list, and he said how it was a marvellous castle. And the traveller Leopold went into the castle for to rest him for a space, being sore of limb, after many marches, environing in divers lands, and sometime venery. And in the castle was set a board that was of the birchwood of Finlandy, and it was upheld by 4 dwarf men of that country, but they durst not move, more for enchantment. And on this board were frightful swords and knives, that are made in a great cavern by swinking demons out of white flames that they fix in the horns of buffaloes and stags that there abound marvellously. And there were vessels that are wrought by magic of Mahound out of sea-sand and the air by a warlock with his breath that he blares into them like to bubbles. And full fair cheer and rich was on the board that no wight could devise a fuller nay richer. And there was a vat of silver that was moved by craft to open, in the which lay strange fishes withouten heads, though misbelieving men nigh that this be possible thing without they see it, natheless they are so. And these fishes lie in an oily water, brought there from Portugal land, because of the fatness that therein is like to the juices of the olive press. And also it was marvel to see in that castle, how by magic they make a compass out of fecund wheat kidneys, out of Caldy, that by aid of certain angry spirits that they do into it, swells up wondrously, like to a vast mountain. And they teach the serpents there to entwine themselves up on long sticks out of the ground, and out of the scales of these serpents they brew out a brewage, like to mead. And the learning knight let pour for child Leopold a draught, and help thereto the while, all they that were there drank every each. And child Leopold did up his beaver for to pleasure him, and took a pertly somewhat in amity, for he never drank no manner of mead, which he then put by, and anon full privily he voided the more part in his neighbour's glass, and his neighbour nist not of his while. And he sat down in that castle with them for to rest him there a while. Thanked be Almighty God. This meanwhile, this good sister stood by the door, and begged them, at the reverence of Jesu, our altar liege lord, to leave their wassailing. For there was above one quick with child, a gentle dame, whose time hied fast. Sir Leopold heard on the up floor cry on high, and he wondered what cry that it was, whether of child or woman. And I marvel, said he, that it be not come or now. Meseems it dureth over long. And he was ware, and saw a franklin, that hight Lenehan, on that side the table, that was older than any of the t'other. And for that they both were knights, virtuous in the one emprise, and eke, by cause that he was elder, he spoke to him full gently. But, said he, or it be long too, she will bring forth by God his bounty, and have joy of her childing, for she hath waited marvellous long. And the franklin that had drunken said, expecting each moment to be her next. Also he took the cup that stood tofore him, for him needed never none asking or desiring of him to drink. And, now drink, said he, fully delectably, and he quaffed as far as he might to their both's health, for he was a passing good man of his lustiness. And Sir Leopold, that was the goodliest guest that ever sat in Scholar's Hall, and that was the meekest man and the kindest that ever laid husbandly hand under hen, and that was the very truest knight of the world, one that ever did minion service to Lady Gentle, pledged him courtly in the cup, woman's woe with wonder pondering. Now let us speak of that fellowship that was there to the intent to be drunken, and they might. There was a sort of scholars along either side the board, that is to wit, Dixon, ye Clep Junior of St. Mary Merciables, with other his fellows Lynch and Madden, scholars of medicine, and the franklin that hight Lenehan, and one from Alba Longer, one Crothers, and young Stephen, that had mean of a frere that was at head of the board, and Costello, that men Clapen Punch Costello, all long of a mastery of him erewhile jested, and all of them reserved young Stephen, he was the most drunken, that demanded still of more mead, and beside the meek Sir Leopold. But on young Malachy they waited, for that he promised to have come, and such as intended to know goodness said how he had broke his avow. And Sir Leopold sat with them, for he bore fast friendship to Sir Simon, and to this his son, young Stephen. And for that his languor becalmed him there, after longest wanderings, insomuch as they feasted him for that time in the honourablest manner. Ruth read him, love led on, with will to wander, loath to leave. For they were right witty scholars, and he heard their arisons, each gen other, as touching birth and righteousness. Young Madden maintaining that put such case, it were hard the wife to die. For so it had fallen out, a matter of some year agone, with the woman of Ablana in Horn's house, that now was trespassed out of this world. And the self knight next before her death, all leeches and pothecaries had taken counsel of her case. And they said, Father, she should live, because in the beginning they said the woman should bring forth in pain. And wherefore they that were of this imagination affirmed how young Madden had said truth, for he had conscience to let her die. And not few, and of these was young Lynch, were in doubt that the world was now right evil governed, as it was never other, howbeit the mean people believed it otherwise, but the law nor his judges did provide no remedy. A redress God grant. This was scant said, but all cried with one acclaim, Nay, by our Virgin Mother, the wife should live, and the babe to die. In colour whereof they waxed hot upon that head, what with argument, and what for their drinking. But the Franklin Lenehan was prompt each when to pour them ale, so that at the least way mirth might not lack. Then young Madden showed all the whole affair, and when he said how that she was dead, and how for holy religion's sake by rede of palmer and beadsman, and for a vow he had made to St. Ultan of Ardbracken, her goodman husband would not let her death, whereby they were all wondrous grieved. To whom young Stephen had these words following, Murmur, sirs, is eke oft among lay folk. Both babe and parent now glorify their maker, the one in limbo gloom, the other in purge fire. But Gramercy, what of those God-possible souls that we nightly impossibilize, which is the sin against the Holy Ghost, very God, Lord and Giver of life? For, sirs, he said, our lust is brief. We are means to those small creatures within us, and nature has other ends than we. Then said Dixon Jr. to Punch Costello, wist he what ends? But he had overmuch drunken, and the best word he could have of him was, that he would ever dishonest a woman, whoso she were, or wife, or maid, or leman, if it so fortuned him to be delivered of his spleen of lustihead. Whereat Crothers of Alba Longa sang young Malachy's praise of that beast the unicorn, how once in the millennium he cometh by his horn, the other all this while pricked forward with their gibes, wherewith they did malice him, witnessing all and several by St. Fountainus his engines, that he was able to do any manner of thing that lay in man to do. Thereat laughed they all jocundly, only young Stephen and Sir Leopold, which never durst laugh too open, by reason of a strange humour, which he would not bewray, and also for that he rued for her that bare, whoso she might be, or wheresoever. Then spoke young Stephen, Orgulous, of Mother Church, that would cast him out of her bosom, of Law of Canons, of Lilith, patron of abortions, of bigness wrought by wind of seeds, of brightness, or by potency of vampires mouth to mouth, or, as Virgilius saith, by the influence of the occident, or by the reek of moonflower, or and she lie with the woman which her man has but lain with, effecto secuto, or peradventure in her bath, according to the opinions of Averroes and Moses Maimonides. He said also how at the end of the second month a human soul was infused, and how in all our holy mother foldeth ever souls for God's greater glory, whereas that earthly mother, which was but a dam to bring forth beastly, should die by cannon, for so saith he that holdeth the fisherman's seal, even that blessed Peter, on which rock was holy church for all ages founded. All they bachelors then asked of Sir Leopold, would he in like case so jeopard her person as risk life to save life? A wariness of mind he would answer as fitted all, and laying hand to jaw, he said, dissembling, as his wont was, that as it was informed him, who had ever loved the art of physic as might a layman, and agreeing also with his experience of so seldom seen an accident, it was good for that Mother Church be like at one blow at birth and death pence, and in such sort deliverily he scraped their questions. "That is truth, Pardy," said Dixon, "and, or I err, a pregnant word." Which hearing, young Stephen was a marvellous glad man, and he averred that he who stealeth from the poor lendeth to the Lord, for he was of a wild manner when he was drunken, and that he was now in that taking, it appeared, eftsoons. But Sir Leopold was passing grave maugre his word, by cause he still had pity of the terror-causing shrieking of shrill women in their labour. And as he was minded of his good lady Marian, that had borne him an only man-child, which on his 11th day on live had died, and no man of art could save, so dark is destiny. And she was wondrous stricken of heart for that evil hap, and for his burial did him on a fair corslet of lamb's wool, the flower of the flock, lest he might perish utterly and lie ekelled, for it was then about the midst of the winter. And now Sir Leopold, that had of his body no man-child for an heir, looked upon him his friend's son, and was shut up in sorrow for his forepast happiness. And as sad as he was that him failed a son of such gentle courage, for all accounted him of real parts, so grieved he also in no less measure for young Stephen, for that he lived riotously with those wastrels, and murdered his goods with whores. About that present time young Stephen filled all cups that stood empty, so as there remained but little mo, if the Redentor had not shadowed their approach from him, that still plied it very busily, who, praying for the intentions of the Sovereign Pontiff, he gave them for a pledge the Vicar of Christ, which also, as he said, is Vicar of Bray. "Now drink we," quod he, "of this mazer, and quaff ye this mead, which is not indeed parcel of my body, but my soul's bodiment. Leave ye fraction of bread to them that live by bread alone. Be not afeard neither, for any want for this will comfort more than the other will dismay. See ye here." And he showed them glistering coins of the tribute, and goldsmith's notes the worth of £2.19 that he had, he said, for a song which he writ. They all admired to see the foresaid riches in such dearth of money, as was here before. His words were then these as followeth. "Know all men," he said, "time's ruins build eternity's mansions. What means this? Desire's wind blasts the thorn tree, but after it becomes from a bramble bush to be a rose upon the rood of time. Mark me now, in woman's womb word is made flesh, but in the spirit of the Maker all flesh that passes becomes the word that shall not pass away. This is the post-creation. Omnis caro ad te veniat. No question but her name is puissant, who aventried the dear course of our agonbuyer, healer and herd, our mighty mother, and mother most venerable, and Bernardus saith aptly, that she hath an omnipotentiam de parae supplicem, that is to wit, an almightiness of petition, because she is the second Eve, and she won us, saith Augustine too, whereas that other, our grandam, which we are linked up with by successive anastomoses of navel cords, sold us all, seed, breed, and generation, for a penny pippin. But here is the matter now. Or she knew him that second, I say, and was but creature of her creature, virgine madre filia di tuo filio. Or she knew him not, and then stands she in the one denial or ignorancy with Peter Piscator, who lives in the house that Jack built, and with Joseph the joiner, patron of the happy demise of all unhappy marriages.
Parce que Monsieur Liotaxel nous a dit que qui l'avait mise dans cette fichue position, c'était le sacré pigeon, ventre de Dieu. En fait de transubstantiality ou de consubstantiality, but in no case subsubstantiality.
And all cried out upon it for a very scurvy word. A pregnancy without joy, he said, a birth without pangs, a body without blemish, a belly without bigness. Let the lewd with faith and fervor worship. With will we withstand, with say. Hereupon Punch Costello dinged with his fist upon the board, and would sing a bawdy catch, Staboo Stabella, about a wench that was put in part of a jolly swashbuckler in Almany, which he did now attack. The first 3 months she was not well, Staboo. When here Nurse Quigley from the door angrily bid them hist, ye should shame you. Nor was it not meet, as she remembered them, being her mind was to have all orderly against Lord Andrew come, for because she was jealous that no gastful turmoil might shorten the honour of her guard. It was an ancient and a sad matron, of a sedate look and Christian walking, in habit done, beseeming her megrims and wrinkled visage. Nor did her hortative want of it effect, for incontinently Punch Costello was of them all embraided, and they reclaimed the churl, with civil rudeness some, and with menace of blandishments others, whilst all chode with him, and Moraine seized the dolt. What a devil he would be at, thou chuff, thou puny, thou got in the pea-straw, thou losel, thou chitterling, thou spawn of a rebel, thou dyke-dropped, thou abortion, thou, to shut up his drunken drool out of that like a curse of God ape. The good Sir Leopold, that had for his cognizance the flower of quiet, margarine gentle, advising also the time's occasion as most sacred and most worthy to be most sacred. In Horn's house, rest should reign. To be short, this passage was scarce by, when Master Dixon of Mary and Eccles, goodly grinning, asked young Stephen what was the reason why he had not sided to take friar's vows. And he answered him, obedience in the womb, chastity in the tomb, but involuntary poverty all his days. Master Lenehan at this made return that he had heard of those nefarious deeds, and how, as he heard hereof counted, he had besmirched the lily virtue of a confiding female, which was corruption of minors, and they all intershowed it too, waxing merry and toasting to his fathership. But he said very entirely it was clean contrary to their suppose, for he was the eternal son and ever virgin. Thereat mirth grew in them the more, and they rehearsed to him his curious rite of wedlock for the disrobing and deflowering of spouses, as the priests use in Madagascar Island, she to be in guise of white and saffron, a groom in white and grain, with burning of nard and tapers, on a bride-bed, while clerks sung Kyries and the anthem Ut noviter sexus omnis corporis mysterium, till she was there unmaided. He gave them then a much admirable hymen minim by those delicate poets, Master John Fletcher and Master Francis Beaumont, that is in their maid's tragedy, that was writ for a like twining of lovers. To bed was the burden of it, to be played with accompanible consent upon the virginals. An exquisite dulcet epithalme of most maleficative swatency, for juveniles amatory, whom the odoriferous flambeaux of the paranymphs have escorted to the quadrupedal proscenium of connubial communion. Well met they were, said Master Dixon, joyed, but harkee, young sir, better were they named Beaumont and Letcher, for, by my truth, of such a mingling much might come. Young Stephen said indeed, to his best remembrance, they had but the one doxy between them, and she of the stews, to make shift with in delights amorous, for life ran very high in those days, and the custom of the country approved with it. Greater love than this, he said, no man hath, that a man lay down his wife for his friend. Go thou and do likewise. Thus are words to that effect, said Zarathustra, sometime Regius Professor of French Letters to the University of Oxtail, nor breed there ever that man to whom mankind was more beholden. Bring a stranger within thy tower, it will go hard, but thou wilt have the second best bed. Orate frates pro memetipso, and all the people shall say Amen. Remember e'er in thy generations and thy days of old, how thou settest little by me and by my word, and broughtest in a stranger to my gates, to commit fornication in my sight, and to wax fat and kick like Jeshurun. Therefore hast thou sinned against the light, and hast made me thy lord to be the slave of servants. Return, return, Clan Milly, forget me not, O Miletian. Why hast thou done this abomination before me, that thou didst spurn me for a merchant of jalaps, and did deny me to the Roman and the Indian of dark speech, with whom thy daughters did lie luxuriously? Look forth now, my people, upon the land of behest, even from Horeb and from Nebo and from Pishka, and from the horns of Hatton, unto a land flowing with milk and money. But thou hast suckled me with a bitter milk. My moon and my sun thou hast quenched for ever. And thou hast left me alone for ever in the dark ways of my bitterness, and with the kiss of ashes hast thou kissed my mouth. This tenebrosity of the interior, he proceeded to say, hath not been illumined by the wit of the Septuagint, nor so much as mentioned, for the Orient from on high, which brake hell's gates, visited a darkness that was Phoraneous. As your faction minerates atrocities, as Tully saith of his darling Stoics, and Hamlet his father, showeth the prince no blister of combustion. The Adiaphane in the noon of life is an Egypt's plague, which in the nights of pre-nativity and post-mortemity is the most proper ubi and quomodo. And as the ends and ultimates of all things accord in some mean and measure with their inceptions and originals, that same multiplicit concordance which leads forth growth from birth, accomplishing by a retrogressive metamorphosis that diminishing and ablation towards the final, which is agreeable unto nature, so is it with our subsolar being. The aged sisters draw us into life. We wail, batten, sport, clip, clasp, sunder, dwindle, die. Over us dead, they bend. First saved from water of old Nile, among bulrushes, a bed of fasciated wattles. At last, the cavity of a mountain, an occulted sepulchre, amid the conclamation of the hillcat and the ossifrage. And as no man knows the ubiquity of his tumulus, nor to what processes we shall thereby be ushered, nor whether to Tophet or to Edenville, in the like way is all hidden, when we would backward see from what region of remoteness the whatness of our who-ness hath fetched his whenceness. Thereto Punch Costello roared out mainly Etienne Chanson, but he loudly bid them, lo, wisdom hath built herself a house, this vast, majestic, long-established vault, the crystal palace of the Creator, all in apple-pie order, a penny for him who finds the pea. Behold the mansion reared by Deedle Jack. See them all stored in many a refluent sack, in the proud cirque of Jack John's bivouac. A black crack of noise in the street here, alack, bawled back. Loud on left, Thor thundered, in anger awful, the hammer-hurler. Came now the storm that hissed his heart, and Master Lynch bade him have a care to flout and wit wanton, as the god self was angered for his hell-prate and paganry. And he that had erst challenged to be so doughty waxed pale, as they might all mark, and shrank together, and his pitch that was before so haught uplift was now of a sudden quite plucked down, and his heart shook within the cage of his breast as he tasted the rumour of that storm. Then did some mock and some jeer, and Punch Costello fell hard again to his yale, which Master Lenehan vowed he would do after, and he was indeed but a word and a blow on any the least colour. But the braggart boaster cried that an old nobodaddy was in his cups. It was much what indifferent, and he would not lag behind his lead. But this was only to dye his desperation, as cowed he crouched in Horn's Hall. He drank indeed at one draught to pluck up a heart of any grace, for it thundered long rumblingly over all the heavens, so that Master Madden, being godly certain whiles, knocked him on his ribs upon the crack of doom, and Master Bloom, at the braggart's side, spoke to him calming words to slumber his great fear, advertising how it was no other thing but a hubbub noise that he heard, the discharge of fluid from the thunderhead, look you, having taken place, and all of the order of a natural phenomenon. But was young Boastheart's fear vanquished by calmer's words? No. For he had in his bosom a spike named Bitterness, which could not by words be done away. And was he then neither calm like the one, nor godly like the other? He was neither, as much as he would have liked to be either. But could he not have endeavoured to have found again, as in his youth, the bottle holiness that then he lived withal? Indeed not, for grace was not there to find that bottle. Heard he then in that clap the voice of the god bring forth,
Or what Karma said, a hubbub of phenomenon? Heard? Why, he could not but hear unless he had plugged up the tube understanding, which he had not done. For through that tube he saw that he was in the land of phenomenon, where he must for a certain one day die, as he was like the rest too, a passing show. And would he not accept to die like the rest and pass away? By no means would he, and make more shows, according as men do with wives, which phenomenon has commanded them to do by the book law. Then wotted he naught of that other land, which is called Believe on Me, that is the land of promise, which behoves to the king delightful, and shall be for ever, where there is no death and no birth, neither wiving nor mothering, of which all shall come as many as believe on it. Yes, pious had told him of that land, and chaste had pointed him to the way. But the reason was that in the way he fell in with a certain whore of an eye-pleasing exterior, whose name, she said, is Bird in the Hand. And she beguiled him wrong ways from the true path by her flatteries, that she said to him as, Ho, you pretty man, turn aside hither, and I will show you a brave place. And she lay at him so flatteringly, that she had him in her grot, which is named Two in the Bush, or by some learned carnal concupiscence. This was it, what all that company that sat there at Commons in Manse of Mothers the most lusted after. And if they met with this whore Bird in the Hand, which was within all foul plagues, monsters, and a wicked devil, they would strain the last, but they would make at her and know her. For regarding Believe on Me, they said it was naught else but notion, and they could conceive no thought of it, for first Two in the Bush, whither she ticed them, was the very goodliest grot. And in it were four pillows, and which were four tickets, with these words printed on them, Pickaback, and Topsy-Turvy, and Shameface, and Cheek by Jowl, and second, for that foul plague all pox, and the monsters they cared not for them, for Preservative had given them a stout shield of oxen gut, and third, that they might take no hurt either from offspring, that was that wicked devil, by virtue of the same shield, which was named Killchild. So were they all in their blind fancy, Mr. Cavill, and Mr. Sometimes Godley, Mr. Ape Swillale, Mr. False Franklin, Mr. Dainty Dixon, Young Boasthard, and Mr. Cautious Karma. Wherein, O wretched company, were ye all deceived? For that was the voice of the God that was in a very grievous rage, that he would presently lift his arm, and spill their souls for their abuses, and their spillings done by them, contrariwise to his word, which forth to bring Brenningly biddeth. So, Thursday, 16th June, Patrick Dignam laid in clay of an apoplexy, and after hard drought, please God, rained, a bargeman coming in by water, a 50-miler thereabout, with turf, saying the seed won't sprout, fields athirst, very sad-coloured and stunk mightily, the quags and tofts too. Hard to breathe, and all the young quicks clean consumed without sprinkle this long while back, as no man remembered to be without. The rosy buds all gone brown, and spread out blobs, and on the hills naught but dry flag and faggots that would catch at first fire. All the world saying, for aught they knew, the big wind of last February a year, that it havocked the land so pitifully, a small thing.